Hello, this is Chris Yerkes reading to you from the County Chronicle, May 27th edition. We'll begin with the first page stories. Douglas County Board approve pay hikes for elected officials by Jacob Hamm. The Douglas County Board voted to increase the salaries for the offices of sheriff, county clerk and recorder, treasurer, and circuit clerk at Wednesday's meeting. The board unanimously voted to approve a 5.99% yearly salary increase to each of the mentioned positions over the next 4 years, with a slightly bigger increase for fiscal year 2026. The officials originally requested a one-time 26% increase. The salary of the county clerk and recorder will increase from $80,900 during this fiscal year to $90,000 for 2026, effective December 1st. In 2029, the county treasurer's salary will increase to $107,000 in addition to $6,500 yearly stipend from the state of Illinois. The stipend must be provided in addition to the salary they receive and cannot be used to lower an officeholder's salary according to state law. The county treasurer's salary, which is currently $80,900, will also be increased to $90,102 effective December 1st and will increase to $107,000 by December 1st, 2029. The circuit clerk's salary will see the same increase as the other two positions and be increased to $90,000 in December. The county sheriff's office position will see a salary increase to $135,000 according to the budget data from Douglas County. Illinois state law requires county sheriffs to be paid at least 80% of the salary amount that each county state attorney is paid. According to the budget data for fiscal year 2026, the county is compliant with this law. Board member Gary Luth expressed some concern over the salary increases during the meeting over residents concerned about their tax bill, but ultimately supported each of the salary increases. I think the solutions we're offering here is one as a compromise between compensating people fairly and watching out for the fiscal responsibilities of taxpayers of Douglas County, so that is kind of where I ended up on this difficult decision in my years of serving on various boards, Luth said. The next article, Arthur School Board, Construction Prep Moves Ahead by Ariana Cherry. Construction preparations continue to move quickly for Arthur CUSD number 305 as district officials prepare for summer filled with moving, demolition, and building activity, while also recognizing student accomplishments and community support during the May 20th school board meeting. Superintendent Shannon Cheek told board members construction efforts continue moving in a positive direction with major project milestones approaching over the next several weeks. As of right now, pretty positive, Cheek noted. One of the next major steps will begin Tuesday, May 26, when asbestos removal work starts in portions of the building, including areas around the chorus, band, and weight room spaces, along with additional smaller areas. Cheek said the district's goal is to continue transitioning spaces as work progresses. Demolition activities are expected to begin on June 8th, with fencing around portions of the building also scheduled to be installed in early June. The district is also preparing for an upcoming auction of surplus school items as part of the transition process. Cheek said the auction is scheduled for June 3rd at 2 p.m. in the old gymnasium, with additional information expected to be released online. School officials are also discussing ways for community members to preserve pieces of the current building. My vision for that is pretty simple, Cheek said. There'll be a pile of bricks. We'll communicate to the community where the pile is and how that process will work. Parking also remains a concern as the district transitions next year. Cheek said administrators are currently exploring temporary solutions around Levington Grade School. It will not be ideal, as nothing is going to be ideal next year, Cheek said. The district's website is launched and will continue to be updated with project information, renderings, and frequently asked questions section intended to keep the community members informed. FFA students share a successful year. Before regular business items, members of Ms. Uphoff's FFA chapter presented highlights from a successful year that included growth in membership, community service projects, and statewide recognition. Students reported that chapter membership grew from 88 members last year to 102 members this year. The chapter also recognized one Illinois State FFA degree recipient, 28 chapter degree recipients, and 19 Green Hand degree recipients. Students highlighted projects completed through several committees, including agricultural advocacy campaigns, freshman orientation activities, chapter recruitment efforts, and Ag Show Day, where elementary students participated in hands-on agricultural learning activities featuring a petting zoo, tractors, and educational stations. FFA members also participated in community service projects throughout the year, including assisting with fireworks, cleanup, Veteran Day activities, and fundraising efforts. The chapter's efforts earned gold recognition through the national chapter application process, ranking third out of 16 schools within its section. Students explained that Illinois has 25 sections statewide, with each section functioning similarly to a conference system. They also thanked alumni and community supporters for their continued involvement. We're extremely thankful for them because they are a big part of our fundraising and allow us to do a lot, Will Hilligoss, past president, told the board. Donations, TIF grants. Board members approved the consent agenda, which included approval of bills, the treasurer's report, and several policy items. Officials noted that the district is expected to receive 4 transportation payments for the current fiscal year. The district also applied for and have been approved 2 grants through the TIF-related construction and facade program, which will provide $85,000 through the Village of Arthur to help offset costs associated with project needs, including new water line requirement for the sprinkler systems. Board members also approved 6 donations totaling $5,000 in support of senior activities and trips. Donations included anonymous donation of $250 for senior trip assistance, Rotary Club $1,400 for senior lunch etiquette activities, State Bank of Arthur $1,000 supporting community participation at the senior luncheon, Arthur's Women Club $1,000 for drink and snack bags for the senior trip, anonymous donation $200 for senior trip assistance, Master Brand approximately $1,200 for pizza and salad. The board also approved a 3-year Miller bus contract approved for the fiscal year 26 tentative amendment budget, approved handbook revisions, and approved continuing the district's cleaning contract with Decker Family Cleaning. Cheek praised the relationship with the cleaning service. They're very responsive. We never get any pushback, he noted. It's been a good relationship. Mental health services. The board also discussed future mental health support options after learning the RISC, which previously provided services to high school students 2 days each week, is no longer operating. Cheek explained that counselors recently hired through the grants at the Douglas County Health Department have expressed interest in providing support services within the schools, though they would also be serving other districts as well. The need continues to rise, Cheek stated. Cheek concluded that by recognizing custodians and maintenance staff, James and Connor, Mitch Wilson and his students, Stephanie Dawn, Nathan, and teachers for the senior trip, students and community members for their efforts throughout the school year and during the transition process. Our custodians and maintenance crew are rock stars, Cheek said. They're just amazing what they've done. Personnel report. Approved hiring Rochelle Luttrell as permanent sub for 2026-2027 school year. Approved hiring Caitlin Martin as permanent sub for the 2026-2027 school year. Approved hiring Kara Moffat as permanent sub for 2026-2027 school year. Approved hiring Adam Reel as the Social Studies Department Chair. Approved hiring Jamie Marriott as junior high science teacher at LGS/AGS. Approved hiring Connor Richardson as the Assistant Director of Maintenance. Approved hiring Paul Moran for custodian at AHGS. Approved hiring Jace Parsons for summer help. Approved hiring Cruz Hale for summer help. Approved hiring Hale Cash for summer help. Approved hiring Easton Frederick for summer help. Approved hiring Cody Burdick for summer help. Approved hiring Austin Romine for summer help. Approved hiring Alex Olivero for summer help. Approved hiring Blaine Luden for summer help. Approved hiring Connor Strader for summer help. Approved hiring Jennifer Kinney for summer help. Approved hiring Christina Moody for summer help. Resignations and retirements. Accepted Mr. McClary's letter of retirement. Accepted Mrs. Pam Mendenhall letter of retirement. The next article, Arthur Village Board. Approved Flyer Flag for Freedom by Ariana Cherry. Arthur residents may soon notice more American flags appearing throughout town as community leaders began preparing for this nation's upcoming 250th birthday celebration. During the most recent meeting of the Village Board on May 18th, Arthur Rotary Club member Dave Allen presented Flyer Flags for Freedom project. The trustees approved support for the project in partnership with the Arthur Rotary Club, pledging $1,000 toward the community initiative designed to encourage residents to proudly display the American flag during America's 250 celebrations. The project gives residents an opportunity to purchase flag kits for $44, while Rotary members will help coordinate orders throughout the community. In addition, patriotic 18 by 24 inch yard signs featuring the American flag will be available for $20 and can be displayed as part of the celebration effort. Village officials said the initiative is intended to bring the community together in recognition of the country's milestone anniversary. The reading of the declaration will begin at July 8th at the Welcome Center. Following a public hearing, trustees approved the village's 2026-2027 appropriation ordinance, which outlines anticipated spending and serves as a financial plan for the coming fiscal year. Meanwhile, the village departments continue working through rainy spring weather season and infrastructure improvements around town. Public Works reported crews have been busy keeping storm drains clean amid recent rainfall while continuing work associated with Fidium fiber installation on the west side of town. Officials also noted progress with the GIS mapping work and reported that fiber installation has now been completed at the village's water and wastewater facilities. In other business, approved a liquor license request for the Moultrie Douglas County Fair allowing alcohol service during the fair activities from July 31st through August 2nd. Discussions included adjustment to event layouts due to ongoing school construction with temporary fencing planned around the designated areas. Approval was granted pending proof of insurance. Approved parade routes, street closures, and event requests for several annual community events, including Arthur Days, Cheese Festival, Pumpkin Festival, and Christmas activities. Approved an economic development grant request from Simply Arthur to help support operation and staffing at the Welcome Center. Approved to hire Trey Strode for an open seasonal position in the Public Works Department. Approved resolutions regarding closed meeting minutes and record retention requirements. The next article, How a Tuscola Mother Turned Tragedy into Hope, by Jacob Hamm. Tuscola native Linda Scribner's life forever changed after her two sons, Jordan, who used the nickname Petey, died in 2014 from a heroin overdose, and Jacob died from fentanyl-laced methamphetamine in 2019. Ever since those tragedies, she's been an advocate for those in the area struggling with mental health issues and drug addiction. She started a nonprofit, Be Respectful, and Vastly Educated or Be Brave. She recruited people to come speak in area schools to students about the dangers of drug use, such as NBA player Chris Herron. She also established a college scholarship for area students who would receive a scholarship after writing an essay describing how substance abuse impacted in their lives, either directly or indirectly. As a nurse at Marion County Horizon Center in Tuscola, for her day job, Scribner said, "It's kind of in my heart," referring to caring for those who struggle with mental health and addiction issues. "I just felt I needed to do something to help other people not to have to go through that experience," she said. Scribner has had the idea of opening a sober living house for years, but struggled to get the money together. Then she received a payment from an opioid settlement and was able to put it toward a down payment on a property. She originally wanted to find a house near the Douglas County Courthouse, but the properties in the neighborhood near there sold very quickly. Her son-in-law found a house in the countryside southwest of town. She was apprehensive about the location at first, but fell in love with the property as soon as she saw it. "I was like, oh my gosh, this place is amazing. It was Amish, no electricity, but it has a house, a shed, a garden, pasture. It's got all the things, so I changed my thinking. Maybe it's more important to do this, like skills things and earthy things, than to be close to the courthouse," Scribner said. She named the property PJ's Place after her sons, PD, Jordan, and Jacob. The property will be a sober living house exclusively for young men in the area who have recently undergone inpatient rehabilitation treatment. The residents will be responsible for chores such as cooking, cleaning, and maintaining the property. The residents will also be required to hold employment after a grace period. She closed on the property in May 29, 2025, which is the anniversary of Jacob's death. After months of preparations and securing resources such as furniture for the house and other donations from the community, she will open her doors on May 29th to the community. There will be an open house at the property from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. that evening. "The community has probably given 99% of what's there, and I appreciate that," Scribner said. She still faces financial hurdles such as being denied several grants and a property tax exemption. We'll move now to the obituaries. Patricia Lee Sullivan, age 91, of Tuscola, passed away peacefully on the evening of Thursday, May 21, 2026, at the Haven of Tuscola in Tuscola. Private family graveside services will be held at Monticello Township Cemetery in Monticello. Deacon Kenneth E. Schumacher, 81, of Atwood and Tulsa, Oklahoma, passed away May 15, 2026, after a progressive fight with Alzheimer's disease. A memorial mass will be held at 40 Martyrs Catholic Church in Tuscola on Thursday, May 28th at 4 p.m., and a massive Christian burial will be held on Tuesday, June 30th at the Church of the Resurrection in Tulsa, Oklahoma, where he served as deacon for the Catholic diocese for 27 years. Interment will be at the Calvary Cemetery in Shawnee, Oklahoma. Billy D. Romine of Villa Grove was born July 29, 1937, in Ficklin and peacefully passed away on Sunday, May 17, 2026, in Tuscola. In honor of Billy's memory, donations may be made to the charities dear to his heart, including St. Jude's Christian Research Hospital, Shriners Hospital, and Special Olympics. Private family graveside services were held at the Cartwright Cemetery, rural Tuscola, with Mr. Downey Powell officiating. The next article has more information on the Flower Flags for Freedom program. The Arthur Rotary Club and Village of Arthur are co-sponsoring Fly Our Flag of Freedom, a special opportunity to encourage our Arthur residents to proudly fly their American flags during our nation's 250th birthday celebration. Residents are encouraged to display their patriotism surrounding Arthur's Freedom Celebration, June 27, 2026, from June 25th through July 8th with the reading of Declaration of Independence, and during special holidays such as Memorial Day, Flag Day, 9/11, and Veterans Day. Residents are encouraged to participate in the patriotic celebration by flying a flag at their home or business. You may sign up for a flag kit and or a USA flag God Bless America patriotic red, white, and blue yard sign to proudly display. When you sign up for a flag kit, you have three choices of flag holders. Two are locally made from very sturdy welded and painted steel. One option is a wall-mounted bracket that comes with a rigid, painted steel 6-foot flagpole. The second is locally designed, heavy-duty yard display flag stand that is easily staked into the ground and accompanied with a 10-foot upright steel flagpole. The third option is a manufactured yard display flagpole with a 10-foot upright flagpole made of 7 sections. With three options, you will qualify for a high-quality nylon 3-foot by 5-foot American flag made in the USA. The beautifully designed USA flag God Bless America yard signs are standard 18 by 24 inch rigid plastic with heavy duty stakes meant to withstand wind. You may sign up for your patriotic flag kit and or your yard sign by stopping by the Village Hall office, 120 East Progress, or contacting any Arthur Rotary Club member. Please pay by check or check payable to Village of Arthur when you sign up. Arthur Rotary and Village of Arthur have contributed to help cover the expenses of this program and keep the cost very attractive for Arthur residents. To receive your flag kit or yard sign in time for the Arthur Freedom Celebration, please place your order by June 17th. Supplies are limited and will be sold on the first-come, first-served basis. You may view samples of the flag kit and yard sign options at the Village Arthur Village Hall operations. Fly Our Flag Freedom wall-mounted flag kit is $44 per kit. Fly Our Flag for Freedom ground-mounted flag kits are $44 per kit. Fly Our Flag for Freedom heavy-duty ground-mounted flag kits, $80 per kit. USA Flag God Bless America 18 by 24 inch yard sign kits are $20 per sign. The next article, Peace Poles at Arthur Welcome Center. Through a cooperative effort by the Arthur Rotary Club and the Village of Arthur, two peace poles have been installed at the Arthur Welcome Center to send a message of peace to the international visitors who come to the Arthur community. The two poles together say, "May peace prevail on earth," in 15 different languages, including English, Arabic, Chinese, French, German, Hindi, Italian, Japanese, Polish, Portuguese, Russian, Spanish, Tagalog, Ukrainian, and Vietnamese. These languages are selected from records by the Welcome Center of countries known to have people visit Arthur most often over the years, and then by the most popular languages spoken in the United States and Illinois. Peace poles are the symbol of May Peace Prevail on Earth International, which was founded in Japan over 50 years ago. During the decades since, peace poles have been planted in every region and continent on Earth. It is estimated there are over 200,000 peace poles in the world today, and they've become the most recognized monument dedicated to peace on Earth. Peace poles represent the highest aspirations of peace and goodwill inherent in the human heart that transcends race, religion, and creed. They are planted to uplift, empower, and elevate the human consciousness to embrace the oneness of our global family. The Arthur Rotary Club purchased the peace poles, and Arthur's Public Works employees planted them near the north and south entrances of the Welcome Center. The next article, all about horses at Illinois Amish Heritage Center. On Saturday, June 13th, the Illinois Amish Heritage Center, IAHC, will be holding a fun all-day and family-friendly event entitled All About Horses. There will be three demonstrations on equine therapy by the Trinity Horsemanship Foundation with horses, a link-up with one of their therapy horses, and demonstrations and explanation of why they do what they do, as well as the numerous proven benefits of equine therapy. They will demonstrate the link-up, a small round pen with a horse, using the horse's natural instinct to make connection that allows the horse to select that person as the leader of the interaction. Additionally, they'll be sharing why that link-up is important, especially for those suffering from mental or emotional dysregulation. The Trinity Horsemanship Foundation also provides physical therapy and is working to develop a demonstration of the therapeutic aspect as well, performing physical therapy stretches on the horse. For more information, contact Sarah Dunn of Trinity Horsemanship Foundation at 217-372-7827 or visit them on Facebook at www.facebook.com/Trinity Horsemanship. If you ever consider taking therapeutic riding for yourself or a loved one, this is an opportunity to learn about its potential benefits and whether it is right for you or your loved one. They'll be demonstrating from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. There will also be a horse shoer, farrier, on site all day demonstrating when and why horses are shod. There will be a roost of red bantam chickens that attendees can engage with as well. Children 12 and under are free. The IAHC is open on Saturdays from 10 a.m. till 4 p.m. for guided tours. For more information as well as directions, go to the IAHC website, www.illinoisamish.org. The next article, A Nickel Ain't Worth a Dime Anymore, Yogi Berra. I'm Just Saying by Mike Carroll. In 1980, during President Carter's administration, decades of inflation rose to a peak of 14.8%. to slay the inflation dragon, Federal Reserve Chairman Paul Volcker raised the federal funds rate to nearly 20%. As a consequence, in 1981, my three-year adjustable mortgage ballooned from 9.9% to 17%, and my stress factor zoomed to 15 on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being clinically dead. Thankfully, humor was free. There's an inflation joke from the time period. To get the joke, you must be old enough to remember payphones, which were placed inside public buildings and in tiny glass cubicles on public streets. Trivia. In 1964, 15 Tuscola seniors stuffed themselves into a tiny glass phone booth. Three of them had to be extracted by the jaws of life, and two still suffer malignant claustrophobia. To start the call, you had to deposit coins. In 1964, the cost for a three-minute phone call was one thin dime. By the mid-80s, it increased to a quarter. By the way, during the 1960s, the cost for a gallon of gasoline averaged 30 cents, but fell as low as 12 to 19 cents during gas wars, but I don't want to talk about that. Anyway, here's the joke from the period. A guy falls off a ladder in 1980 and suffers a severe brain injury. He remains in coma for 8 years. When he suddenly wakes up in 1988, the first thing he does, after he's been advised he's in a coma for 8 years, is yell at his nurse, "Where's the payphone?" She directs him to one in the hall and loans him a dime to call his stockbroker. "Bernie, this is Sid Stumpy. I've just awakened from an 8-year coma, and I'm wondering, how's my stock portfolio doing?" Bernie says, "Based on today's results, your total portfolio is worth about $9 billion. Sid starts jumping up and down, screaming in joy, when the operator interrupts him to say, "Your 3 minutes are up. Please deposit $17 million. I thought that joke and those wild days of Carter's great inflation when I received my real estate tax bill today and realized that my taxes exceed my salary in 1972 as a lieutenant in the U.S. Army. Cowabunga. Inflation. In 1969, starting law school, I rented one half of an old house in Tuscola for $75. The landlord offered to carpet it for $5 more per month. We accepted, even though the carpet was this ugly shag monstrosity that felt repurposed World War II tank treads when you walked on it. Speaking of law school, at the University of Illinois, my tuition and fees in 1969 was $431. Today it's $40,000. Can someone call a plumber? My toilet's overflowing. This is shocking. I've lived too long. Back in the day, back to taxes. Illinois is credited with having the nation's highest effective real estate property tax, 1.9% of value, more than double the national rate of 0.89%. My recent real estate tax bill shows a rate over 2%. Combining all taxes, Illinois is rated some of the highest tax state in the nation, for the median taxpayer almost double the national average. Where's that plumber? On the positive side, Illinois does have an adequate supply of oxygen. In my response to the question of why wages, taxes, and prices can't stay relatively stable over time, my Econ 100 professor, Dr. What Do You Know, said price levels aren't stable because of the forces of supply and demand, e.g. chickens get the flu and die, egg production drops, so the price of eggs go up to reflect the decreased supply. Okay, but if that's all there is, then free market economics should correct the imbalance over time, and price and wages should stay relatively stable, e.g. people switch from eating eggs to something else, say Mrs. Paul's frozen fish sticks. Demand goes down, while chickens get flu shots, egg supply increases, prices are restored. Therefore, shouldn't tuition at the U of I Law School still be around $421? And my real estate taxes around $200. If not, what's up? Claude said the money supply is one reason. In 1776, the money supply, M1, in the nation was what? $8, maybe $29 at the most? In 1965, it had grown to $162 billion. Today, it's $19.5 trillion. Another factor is the Ferris wheel of politicians chasing votes that will cause unending price-wage spiral. Here's how the wheel turns. Politicians want to get elected, so they promise shiny, new, expensive things to make voters happy, but not raise taxes to pay for them, which also makes voters happy. Something for nothing magic trick. As the government prints more money to stimulate the economy and to cover its deficit spending, consumers have more money to spend on all the cash sloshing around. So businesses raise prices, supply and demand, which makes consumers demand higher wages to buy these more expensive things, which causes businesses to raise prices, etc. A classic wage-price spiral. This might make the politicians popular, but piles debt burden on future generations of politicians and taxpayers, i.e. our national, not accounting private debt, is $3.39 trillion, give or take a couple of sawbucks. But the good news, we still have abundant oxygen. I could be dead wrong. There's this optimistic modern monetary theory which argues that piling up unlimited mountains of debt is no big deal. But chronically running annual deficits is an eternal free Ferris wheel ride. Sounds nuts, but who knows anything today? If the MMT folks are correct and my inflation joke won't be funny in a few more decades, assuming, of course, it's funny now. The next article, Shopping Lately is for the Birds, by Ramblin' Man David Porter. A few months ago, we bought a metal vase doohickey for no good reason other than we liked it and thought it would look nice hanging on our front porch next to the door. We figured it needed some flowers or something to dress it up a bit, but we hadn't decided on anything yet. That's one of the joys of shopping. You buy something you don't need to give yourself something else to look for that you also don't need. It's the thrill of the hunt, I suppose. Well, we waited too long, and a neighborhood dove decided that it needed what it needed was a nest. It's not a horrible idea, as it's sheltered from the rain and the wind, but now we have two little birds in it. When the mother doves first started nesting there, she would get started to fly out when we came outside. In the animal world, I suppose that would divert a predator's attention toward the bird and away from the nest. It doesn't work that way with humans because we're smart. It tells us to keep peeking inside to see what she's hiding. She doesn't fly out anymore, even when I'm standing right in front of her, watering the flowers. I guess we've proven to her that we're not a threat. I'm not crazy about the birds in the yard. They cackle all morning, drive me out of my hammock, and they don't clean up after themselves. But as far as human goes, I'm not too smart because I bought a couple of bird feeders for the yard, and they're not exactly bird deterrents, are they? The feeders also need to be replenished frequently since millions of birds they attract clean them out after half a day. But that gives me something else to shop for that I don't need. It's funny how shopping works. Buying essentials like food and gas and toilet paper can be laborsome, but shopping for stuff you don't need is fun, adventuresome even. It's like, ugh, we're out of toilet paper and have to go shopping versus, hey, I'm not busy this morning, let's go shopping. The trick is to time your trip so that you can pick up the essentials while you're out hunting for the fun stuff. Another trick is to try to spend less on gas getting there than you spend on the treasures. That one's getting harder to do. You might even say it's for the birds. And if you're buying seed by the truckload, that's for the birds too, literally and figuratively. I thought I'd come up with a better joke than that, but all the cackling outside is distracting me. You think they'll shut up if I feed them? And the next article, The Mower in the Ditch, So There I Was, by Pete Buckley. Despite my concern for humanity at times, I was recently reminded that kindness still exists. Recently, I was mowing my grass with a John Deere lawn tractor. I have a ditch in my front yard that resembles the letter V, and I'm not good at math, but it might be at a 45-degree angle. I'm usually hesitant to mow this section of my lawn with a John Deere because of my fear that the mower will tip over and I'll be crushed or severely injured by the rotating mower blades. Therefore, I end up pushing my push mower up and down this 50-yard ditch, cursing myself for perching a house with such a steep ditch that it looks like a moat when it fills with rainwater. When it doesn't rain, my push mower and I fight the good fight as I recite myself childhood stories of little Eugene, the engine who could. I think I can, I think I can, over and over while struggling through the ditch. That particular Saturday I had enough. I was no longer going to be a wimp, and I decided to tackle the ditch with a John Deere. Things progressed smoothly as I mowed the top of the V, but when the motor neared the bottom of the V, it became wedged between two sides of the ditch. This was trouble from many fronts. Number one, my house is located on a busy road in town, and the middle school is only one block away, and many drivers are able to witness my stupidity at attempting to mow this section of my lawn with a tractor, and I'd be more embarrassed than I usually am. Number two, the John Deere is wedged so tightly that despite my best efforts, I could not muscle the tractor free. Before I could say, what do I do now, a minivan stopped adjacent to where I was stuck. Out popped the father and son. The father was about 35 years old and in excellent physical shape, and his son was about 10 years old and was wearing a blue baseball uniform and a ball cap, having just been an astute FBI agent in a past life. I immediately deducted the father was taking his son to a ball game. These two do-gooders didn't say a word, or at least I didn't hear them, mainly because the engine of the mower was still running and I couldn't seem to find the button on my headphones to turn off the music blasting in my ears. These angels of mercy smiled at me, rappelled down the ditch, and went to work quickly helping me unwedge my mower. After completing the mission, they turned back to the minivan and trudged back up the mountain, I mean the ditch, because they had game to get to. I thanked them profusely, and just about before they got back into their minivan, the baseball player boy turned toward me, smiled and waved and said, "You should have had the push mower." We have time for some briefs. Arthur Days, June 5th through 6th. Kick off summer in the heart of Amish country during Arthur Days, Friday, June 5th and Saturday, June 6th. Two-day event will feature sidewalk sales, food trucks, vendors, and community-wide garage sales throughout town and highlight local businesses while enjoying the small-town charm Arthur is known for. Come for the finds, stay for the fun. Shoppers can discover unique finds, browse bargains in town-wide garage sales and sidewalk sales while also enjoying Arthur's many specialty shops, Amish-made goods, restaurants, baked goods, and area attraction. Visit beautiful Arthur and celebrate the start of summer with friends, family, and hometown fun. For more information, call the Welcome Center at 217-543-2242. And that's all the time we have for this week. This is Chris Yerkes. Say goodbye and see you again next week.